Education, why does it matter, Alex?
It matters because we need to optimize our time. We need to actually learn the subjects we're learning. We're using AI more than ever to just get our way through it. I understand we all can be like lazy. I mean, we all use it at times because it helps us get through things faster. But we need to actually like learn these subjects and to optimize. You know, we don't want Lucci using AI to be your doctor. You don't want that. He actually has to sit there, learn it, learn his study habits. So it's important for him to actually learn what he's being taught at UTD, so that way he can become the best doctor possible. And cheating the way through it with AI is not going to help him become the best doctor, or me becoming the best broadcaster cheating my way through it using AI.
Welcome back to the Sights On podcast with Luciano and Alex. Do you have the right tools in your toolbox? Can you build a house without a foundation? What's stopping you from achieving your highest level career? What's keeping you from your life dreams? It is education. The effort you put in your education is an exact correlation to the amount of success you will have in the future. Your future can only broaden until you know the amount of success and the specifics in your career to create a dream into reality. Today, we are putting an emphasis on the process of reliably obtaining education to optimize our future goals and dreams.
Yeah, like Lucci said, right here on the Sights On podcast, who are we targeting when we're talking about like optimizing our education? We're targeting those who have bad procrastination, bad study habits, bad time management, because we want to, as again Lucci said, optimize our time and our lives to get more done in a day and be more productive with our school and education.
Exactly. So the first thing, it's the background. Like, what habits, what problems do we have today, Alex?
So as we know, I was showing Lucci my TikTok and like my Instagram. I spend about 24 hours a day on social media. Not a day, I'm sorry. I spend 24 hours in a week, which is a lot. 24 hours a day, that means I would never be off. But it feels like I'm on it 24 hours a day for sure. So I'm on social media. I watch TV. I play video games. So there's a ton of other things as well with like eating, doing other chores beforehand, just complete procrastination. Overall, sleeping, because sleeping is enjoyable. Yep. Plenty of things in our daily lives. I'm sure y'all all have y'all's procrastination habits that we do, because we would rather do anything than do the work that we hate doing, especially on a subject we don't like.
Yeah, really, it's not the big things that hurt you. It's the really small things that you do over time. Let's take that TikTok, for example. You're not doing that the whole time. Like, you're not doing that for a straight hour. If you are, then you're probably wasting so much time. But it's really those 5 minute bits that you're like, oh, scroll, 5 minutes gone, oh, now I'm gonna get back on task, and then 5 minutes later, scroll, that's another bad habit. So I can see definitely where that comes from.
I mean, it's super addicting. I mean, you'll be on there, you can probably watch 100 videos in 5 minutes, and then you just learned like 100 different things, some useless, some maybe helpful a little bit, like depending on what it is. And but you're still addicted because you're like, oh, it's a dopamine rush of, oh, look, oh, that was super funny, you know, and then, like, you just get addicted, and you don't realize, dude, 10 minutes just passed, or maybe less than five, but a lot of times, like, you don't want to do the work that you're doing sometimes, and you're just wasting time.
Yeah, and I can definitely vouch for this. Even me, I study so much, right, but if I have that phone right there, I find myself getting that phone and then going onto YouTube real, and I realize, 10 minutes later, what am I doing? Like, I have to get this work done. I have a project due next week. So what I found is that I put that phone away. We'll talk about this more later, but this is a good habit, out of sight, out of mind. And just having that sense of discipline, not to have that in your mind, in your field of vision, it will definitely optimize your study habits.
Yeah, I definitely have to make time away. So I come home around like that 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock time, and I want to scroll, just relax, you know, let my brain like chill, but then I let it chill too much. And then like, the time I want to get to work, and I start, actually, the funny thing is my mom calls me right as she's getting off of work every time at the same time. And I'm like, oh, I can't, like, yeah. I just wanted to start work now, but now my mom's calling me, and I'm like, all right, I got to answer this. And then I try to keep it kind of short, like, mom, I actually do, like, I'm finally getting in the groove to working. I got to hang up with you. We'll call later.
Yeah, it's really the starting that hurts a lot of people. It's whenever I get to start the work, that's when I start the productivity, right? If I don't get to that start and everything's taking that thing behind me, then I won't get to that productivity point. It's really 15 minutes in. If I have 15 minutes of good work, then I know I'm going to go for the rest of the hour. If there's distractions in that first 15 minutes, then that's when it will be like an unproductive hour, be more distractions because I'm more prone to picking up my phone or, in your case, calling your mom.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But that really is a background to this segue discussion. So the first problem with this education optimization is that we do not know what we want in education. It's really not having a plan or a goal. Let's take, for example, for me, high school, mm-hmm. I didn't know what I wanted to do, right? And I had so many like choices, so many aspects of careers, right? And the one thing that I didn't do was put a foot on the career that I wanted to do or an idea that I wanted to pursue in the future. So what I landed on just automatically was a music major, because that was something that I was like, oh, maybe I could do something in music because I love music and I like to do it. So. I'm good at it. So, but I didn't really think about what would come in the future as a music major, as something that would be in a professional arena, because a music major will only succeed if you're one of the best and if you put all the practice into it. And I didn't realize that until I really thought about it in my senior year of high school, that I said, well, am I really going to make an impact in this world being a music major? Like, are there so many people in this world that could be playing music right now? And I thought about that and I'm like, not really.
I mean, there's a lot of people that do make like impact, but you're right. And you were going, you're doing orchestra music. So
right.
Violin. So, and then I know you were creating some of your own music at the time. And I mean, music industry is really hard to get into. So I can definitely see like, where do you go like past once you get your college degree in music, you know, like where did you imagine, like, where would I go with this degree that I had with music? Or were you thinking like afterwards you would hopefully start to like maybe join an orchestra group or like the Dallas Symphony or something like that?
No, like at the time it was more like I wanted to, like, I felt I was very good. Like I thought I was very good at piano and I thought I would like be the maestro of the world, like I would get to that level, right? And it has to be something that's realistic and you have to work towards it. What I didn't do in that situation is that I didn't put my foot on the specific things that I wanted to do as a musician. I just said I wanted to be a maestro and I wanted to be somewhere up in the stars. That essence of a goal is not really attainable because I did not set a goal that I had a plan to achieve it. And being a music major too is really tough in that sense, but whenever I had a goal, I would put it into it. So I chose the medical career field because I knew I had the tools and I could work towards it, because music requires talent. It requires, you have to work at it 8 hours per day. The medical career field, you can work at it all the time you want and you can build knowledge over time. And I thought that was best fits for me to get into a better situation in the future.
I mean, in your situation, you really had to have like the immense passion for music. If you don't really have the passion for the sport, the music, the art you're doing, it's going to fall flat.
Right.
You know? So if I'm glad, like at the end of the day, you were like, it's just not really for me. Like my passion isn't as strong as I've wanted it to be. And that's kind of how I felt like, right? I've always told you I wanted to be a weatherman. Well, to be a weatherman, you need to be a meteorologist. And I've always been kind of bad at math in my head. Like, I've just always struggled with it. I needed more time than the average kid learning the subjects of math. So my mom, funny enough, when I was in my junior, senior year, was like, Alex, you really struggle with math. Like, your confidence level in your math is not that good. And you're going to need several years of, like, calculus and lots of math to get there. And she's like, I'm not saying you can't do it. I think you can. But it's your confidence is not high enough to do that math. You could be a news reporter, news anchor, and you don't need that math, and you still get to be on the news like you've been wanting to. And I was like, it was like that realization moment of like, she's right. I don't like math. I don't want to do this math for so many years in college and then continuously do it, because like in meteorology, you got to know like the size, the shape, the wind speed of the clouds, and all these different calculations to get that weather. And I was like, I can't see myself doing that. Like, I don't have the passion for that. Actually, I have passion for being on the news, not doing the weather specifically. Now, if I could do the weather without the meteorology, sign me up. Totally. But all that math scares me. It's not for me. So I'm sticking away from that.
Yeah. I mean, your passion is creating the news and trying to broadcast it to the majority of people. So if you have that, if you're in that sense, and if you're in that area, then I think you'll be the most happy.
Yeah.
So when we think about both of our stories, it's trying to find that thing that we center on, something that will be the driver of our future actions. And a lot of people don't have that. I mean, when you look at your friends, like you have to find friends that are really in your game. Like whenever I go into the pre-med field, I have a bunch of buddies around me. We go back and forth with our ideas in med school, and we have to be centered focus on med school. So it's trying to find that one central idea and going forward with it.
Yeah, I totally get that. Like now that I'm at UNT, there's all these guys, and I went in there thinking like, oh man, I'm probably like maybe one of the only guys with podcasts. My little bubble was popped. Everybody, it felt like, in there had a podcast, like 3 or 4 other people. And then everybody else was also on the NT Daily, which is a news segment. And I was like, man, I feel behind. But I'm actually happy to be in here because everybody else is working just as hard, which, I mean, will suck later on when we're all competing for the same jobs. But it's nice to know that everybody here is at the same mindset. We're all here to get to that job level and get hireable, right? Like, to get the degree. And I like that everybody there was, you know, right there with me. Like, we're all here to educate ourselves and get the job.
It's like the runner, when you have a pacer right next to you, you'll run faster. You have people around you that are in the same field, you'll go faster to where you're going to go to.
Because honestly, I expected some people to be like fresh out of the boat, like fresh freshmen, didn't know really, they just picked this career, they didn't know if they really want to stay in. Nobody was like that. Everybody there, I felt like, was like, knew why they were there, and they already had some progress building, you know?
Okay, yeah. The thing with progress is that you have to keep on improving it over time. So when you have people around you like that, you get to bounce around ideas, like I said, and you get to see other perspectives. So when you're in that situation with your editing buddies, you can bounce ideas around. And did you do it this way? And how would you go about solving this problem? And then you find people that are going to.
For sure. Like, yeah. I got a guy recently, he's been helping me shoot, and he's been helping me like edit. I'm actually get super stressed with editing because I feel like some of the people around me are like really good at it, and I feel intimidated, and I'm like, my edits don't look as good as theirs. But there's a friend of mine who sits right next to me who's actually been helping me and helping me like fix it and make it look good and helping me shoot. Super appreciative of him. It's been amazing. And it's friends like that, when again, I tell them that, like, I super appreciate you taking your time out of your day to actually help me, because without you, I would be so stressed. I'd feel like alone. And I think that's really important when you're in school. Like, if you want to like get better and learn better, you got to have friends. Friends are super important, because you don't know if you're doing it right, or maybe you just need that little person to be like, oh yeah, I think that is right, to help you like learn it better, you know?
Yeah. Having those people around you, like, so for me, it's actually, I would take a little deviation perspective from that. So whenever I do like the actual nuts and bolts of it, like of my content, of my let's say anatomy, physiology knowledge, I do it all by myself. Like, I have to, because I need the space and quiet so that I can fully understand the concepts. I need everything. I need all my family out of the room. I need a block wall, like no TV, no electronics in the room, so that I can understand the concepts. And then once I understand the concepts, get all the chapter done, get all the material, then I will go to a study group and bounce around ideas, because I already have it solidified. Then I can improve on the knowledge and elaborate on it, see what other people think about what the bones are in the body, and see how they think about it, and then put like a big web in my brain. This bone is connected to that bone, and that's what another person said about this bone, and that's how I can think about it, and that's how I remember it on the test.
Okay.
And I see that web map in my brain.
That's nice. So like, I was hearing you talk about like, you got to take all the electronics and stuff. But my thing right now is, I'm actually, I got to learn to get out of my bed when I'm learning, because when I'm in my bed, I feel comfy, right? It's a setting.
You got to get out of your bed.
I'm learning in my bed.
And I don't know why you're in your bed.
I don't know why I am either, but it's comfy and I'm doing work. But then like I scroll my phone, you know, I get all these problems. So that is my main goal right now. I need to get in the desk or I need to be in the kitchen, because like it's a flat surface. I can type and write and everything. But I get so comfortable with like, there's my bed and I just lay on it and I can type. And it's actually really hurting me overall, because then I start to lay down or I start to scroll, and you know, it's detrimental, honestly, to my studying.
Yeah. We'll get to this later about like the major habits that we should implement. I'd just like to highlight that one thing early on. It's limiting all your distractions, getting them out of the room, getting into where that you have a desolate black room of nothing that can distract you. I think that's the best way to learn.
Yeah. I definitely have some improvements and some methods that I need to implement on myself, because out of anybody here, I'm the guy that I definitely pass with the right grades. It takes me longer. Like a whole day of studying is literally a whole day of studying, because I'm scrolling, I'm doing all the bad things while still working. And so it takes me throughout the whole day, even though I could have studied, got the 2 hours done, and then been able to do other stuff, you know?
Yeah, we need to fix that. Yeah, we will fix that by the end of this episode. So the next problem that we have with education is that we have this plan. Let's say I'm going to be a doctor and Alex is going to be a broadcaster, but we don't know how to execute it. And let's say I'm starting out in high school and I just decided that I want to be a doctor. And now I do not know how to execute this plan. And this plan is very daunting to me, because med school is about 15 years of education. That's including college, that's including med school, and that's including all of the years of experience that I need because I want to become a surgeon. Mm-hmm. And those years of experience can seem pretty daunting to me, because I don't want to waste that much time, but I have to, because I want to. If I don't, then I have to pick another alternative route as a doctor. So what I have done is that I have gone through the nits and grits of this career path. And right now I'm in the college phase, and I'm trying to get the best MCAT scores, get the best application scores, and get the best letters of recommendation to get into the best medical school that I want to be in the future. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, I have to get a lot of surgical experience now. So getting all these factors into play now, putting the time in to study, putting the time in to get more hours in my work ethics, and then gaining more hours in research, trying to expand my knowledge on the different pathways in the body, is how I execute that plan.
So you're figuring it out all out right now, instead of like figuring out day by day.
Right. And figuring, like, you have to do things, you have to chunk it up into time, because I can't do all these big things in a matter of a year. Like, you have to do it over 5 to 10 years. So I chunk it up and do very little things. So right now I'm in the research phase and the scoring phase, and I'm trying to get that into the works. And then by next year, I'll be in the application phase. And the next year, I'll be in med school. Now that's the actual work to becoming the best physician I can be.
That's awesome. I need to definitely have that plan. I have a kind of a simpler plan. It's definitely not as like in-depth as yours. It's basically graduate, get all my journalism classes, get my my associate's classes, like, you know, my regular government. I need another science. I have another class, government science. Oh, and another Spanish. And then after that, it would just be all journalism, which in my opinion is a little intimidating, because I'm like, oh man, there's like, I'm actually really enjoying my Spanish. Well, I do have to take a minor, but again, I haven't even planned that out yet, but I have to talk to an advisor, and it's actually coming up this month or next month, sorry. So I'm slowly planning it. I'm not there like you, but I'm getting there to where I'm slowly planning it. Because UNT, I'm basically at the kind of like the final stepping stone. I went from, you know, TCC to UNT, and then it kind of ends off here. Like, then after that, I'm looking for the job. And I guess one of my main middle points would be that I am looking for an internship this summer and next summer, because I need an internship for my degree to show that, like, that I can work for like a company and stuff like that and improve in the summertime, you know. So that is my main goal this summer, next summer, all the summers, is to find an internship that will take me under their wing, teach me everything they know, so I can have some skills under my belt and some knowledge in the industry.
Yeah. I would do it sooner than later. Just if you do it this summer, then you get it over with and you have that experience behind your belt. It would open your eyes to so many more things in the future. And I think once you get that experience, like, your video editing will just off the road.
I want an internship every summer because, one, in the state of Texas, we get paid for internships. And I would rather do that than work at Whataburger all summer long. So definitely give me more of the skills, more enjoyable work. And I wouldn't probably quit working at Whataburger. Probably work one day, because then in the school year, I'll go back to working at Whataburger, making that quick money. And the internships only last throughout summer. They end them at the end of summer, like in August. So, yeah, I mean, that's my main plan. Like, my big goal, like, from here to summer, get an internship.
Okay. Yeah, and the internship, then that will open your doors to future jobs as well, because those jobs love internships, because they see that you have the experience, and then they know that you're going to be a valuable asset, because that's really what education does. When you have experience behind your belt and you do things to drastically improve yourself in the future, start small and chunk it up and then get to the better place with the experience behind you, then that's the point to where you become the most valuable person in your competitive group, and then you get picked.
Yeah, remember, I need to help on that portfolio so I can actually put that in the Indeed, because I can't apply without a portfolio, and I need a good one. So
yeah, you have to plan that out. Like, you have to start small. Like, just start with a general resume, website, and then one thing, put the introduction slide on the personal statement right here, and then you go to the next image that you want to put on. Then you put, oh, now I want to work on my resume. Now you want to introduce that into your e-portfolio, and then you keep on going from there. You add more images, you add maybe a video of you actually broadcasting on this podcast. Put a small clip of you, and then that would drastically improve your website over time, and then you would finally get that e-portfolio that would be successful.
I'm definitely looking for, like, I applied last year to a company called Blaze Media, and I just didn't get any response back. But now that I've got, like, I'm doing, you know, stuff at UNT, we're going to be doing man on the street interviews with people. I'm just going to be having, like, more experience under my belt. Like, this podcast is doing better, you know, they'll just more likely to accept me, you know, and hopefully I'll apply to other places. I just only knew of Blaze Media, but I'm hoping that there will be more options this summer than just one company.
Yeah, you have to show the interest in this, like, the career field that you want. And you're doing all these things, like the podcast, the things that you did in UNT. You could even do that internship. These things right here will make you more competitive. And it's not also about being competitive. It's about improving, like, your mind. Like, in the end, when you're in your career, when you're in that, like, broadcasting career, you want to be the best, and you want to have all the tools in your toolbox to make the best content, make the best news, and you want to be that one broadcaster that everybody looks up to because he does it so well that anybody else can't do it. And doing, like, it's like constant learning process every single day. Like, if you learn something new every day in your desired field, then you will become one step better, and you'll become more valuable, and you'll become a better member for that team, for that group, and even for yourself, because you know that you can create things without having to rely on someone, and you know how to create things that make value for other people in the future, and, like, within a company.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I totally agree with that, actually.
So when I go to medical school, it will be more grinding, and it'll be like a more bookwork type of thing. And I feel myself trying, like, there's going to be a stagnation point at some point. Like, there will be a wall where it will try to block me from getting on to the next side.
Yeah. Where do you plan on going to medical school?
So stay in the state of Texas, trying to save money, because it gets too expensive, and Texas has a thing where they make it good for residents.
Yeah.
And 90%, actually 90% of people, they have to accept 90% of people in Texas for public state schools.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. Is Baylor on your list of schools?
No.
Oh.
No. Not right now, at least. I have to do my research.
If they gave you a scholarship, you would definitely go there, right?
We'll see. We'll see. I have to check.
All right.
But yeah, there will be a little roadblock there. So what can we do to, like, when we have that roadblock in our progress, what can we do to further that and get to the better?
So when we get onto that, like, roadblock, right, like, we're getting stuck, we're stumped, I think the main thing is just take back and, like, stop freaking out for a second. Because when we hit that roadblock, we immediately start to, like, freak out. Oh, man, I'm dumb. Why can't I get past this? I think it's better to, I don't want to say, the word relax is too much, because you don't want to relax, but you need to calm down, you know, like, you're overreacting in a sense when you hit that roadblock of, like, I can't learn this, or, like, in a sense, like, just, you know what I'm saying, like, calm down is the best word, because, like, that kind of, like, we can rethink what we're going to do. We need to, once we're at that roadblock, sorry, you need to rethink, okay, what is my next step to improve? What am I messing up on? How do I take a little bit of time to slowly break down this roadblock and fix it, you know?
Yeah. We do this in the podcast every time we discuss. We try to figure out things that we're not jamming on, because there's a lot of things that were wrong in the beginning and still wrong today. We're trying to figure out things that we can improve on every single day. One thing, for example, is our thumbnails. We try to make them more engaging every single time, because those thumbnails are the cover of our video, and if we get those to be the best, then more people will
click on it. I find having a different perspective, right? If we come in as the viewer, right? Because we're two guys making it. We are the businessmen. So I always think about it when we're having problems, like, okay, I'm a viewer. Am I bored? Am I having trouble watching this show? Am I easily going to click off this, like, after 5 minutes? You know, what is keeping me here? Is this thumbnail actually interesting? Is the content actually any good when you're watching it, you know? Especially on the YouTube side of things, because that's where you see everything here that's on this show, you know? And I think that's your main thing. So when we see that, oh, well, man, that video sucked. I only got 2 views. Why did it get only 2 views? Oh, because the thumbnail was really bad. Like, is that even, like, a clickable thumbnail? Oh, the content right at the beginning, very bland, very boring. How do we keep these viewers in here? And that's kind of what we've been learning with, like, leads and different things for, like, news articles. I just kind of want to learn leads to get people into our YouTube videos, you know?
Yeah. And that's the one thing that we both need to keep on researching, because the beginning of our videos, we have this big intro, right? Mm-hmm. And then we come in and we try to find things that are background to a problem that we feel that's something like that. So probably making a more statement or something that happens to be a question, that would probably be more better. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we have to experiment, and that's the process with this podcast, trying to find the best things, guess and choose, trial and error. Sometimes it has to be trial and error when we are trying to improve and get past a roadblock, because we had this point in our podcast where 0 views on YouTube, 0 on everything, up until a point when we said our content is not good and we are doing something wrong here. Mm-hmm. Let's stop production and try to fix this problem. We stopped production and realized that we were half-assing our content.
Yeah.
And we were producing too much. So we scaled it down, made sure that we had good quality videos, and those quality videos began to get views. And I think that's the reason why we got views. We stopped and made better videos. So I think that whenever we go through time and try to improve things and make them the best they can be, make them valuable, make them, like you said, interesting to the viewer so that they stay and make it valuable to what they want, I think that will improve education for one hand on our own, that we can make best videos ever, and like the quality and like how people feel when they like ended the episode. Because whenever I watch a very good episode, I feel like, man, I'm awed, and I feel the best. Like, if I didn't watch that video, I would have missed out. And I want that feeling for a lot of viewers on the podcast.
Roadblocks all the time. I mean, at the very beginning, we could hardly figure out how to make the GarageBand record. And we literally took a whole day and like, dude, are we just dumb? Like, we could not get this tech to work. And then, like, recently, right, we got the tech to work. We made 20 episodes. And then we were like, dude, I think only 3 of these are maybe worth keeping. but we're going to keep them all anyway because, like, it's improvement over time over the show.
Yeah,
for sure. And so, like, when we get to, like, when we're like, oh, there's no views. Like, we literally over Christmas break, we're like, dude, we're not getting the views. This content is horrible. Like, how can we really make this good? And then we're like, okay, we're going to cut the food episode for now, and we're going to completely redo it. What do? We said, let's make a real outline. What are we going to talk about? What is our research? What are we going to put in this episode one by one, and how are we going to talk about it throughout the whole episode? So it's a bit scripted in a sense, how we make this episode, but it's necessary for us to make good content, or better content, I should say.
Yeah. You know? I think structure in a podcast setting is very good because it gives us what we need to talk about, but then it gives us leeway. Like, we can branch off the side and go to one thing that we want. Let's say I want to talk a story about my dog and how that relates to the podcast. I can do that, mm-hmm. and I can just tell a story about my dog. But then I jump back onto the podcast outline and say, oh, yeah, that's what I want to talk about, and that's why you listeners should be here today. Because that really is being catered to the listener.
And I can apply this to, like, education itself with going back on it. Like, so right now I'm learning AP style writing, which is called Associated Press style writing. So how the press writes. And I'm actually struggling with it right now because I don't have the book. I just recently today bought the book. Comes in tomorrow. But I'm trying to pass these quizzes that have, like, 30 plus questions, or they're, and I'm struggling right now, and I'm like, how do I improve? So what do I do after I get, like, a 13 out of 30? So I got, like, less than half correct. I immediately emailed my teacher. I was like, hey, well, one of the questions I thought I got right for sure, and I emailed him. I was like, I might be wrong, but I feel like my answer on this one is correct. And then also I was like, can I get tutoring? Can you get me help? Like, I really want to get better at this Associated Press writing. Do you have tutorials? Do you have this? You know, who can I talk to that's actually going to help me, like, get really good at this so that way I don't stress about this? Because that's when my roadblock hits. When I start stressing about the Adobe, my AP, then I'm, like, starting to freak out. And that's when I said, like, you need to calm down, because it's really, like, at the end of the day, you're going to figure it out eventually. Like, if I am that committed to this career, I will figure it out, you know? I don't need to be freaking out over, like, dude, you're so dumb. You can't even figure it out in one day. You just got your Alex AMT. You'll figure it out, you know?
I can agree with that, yeah. Yeah. Like, having that calm mindset, knowing that in the future, you will be in a better place and you'll have that growth over time. The thing is that when you have that growth mindset, you have to know that you will fail sometimes. And when you fail sometimes, you can't get discouraged.
And I think that's my thing. I get afraid of failing, right? Because failing to me is like, it's like a stab in the heart. I'm like, dude, I'm bleeding out. Somebody help me. You know, like, yeah, I'm drowning over here. I need real help. Like, somebody, I start begging to friends. I start emailing teachers, which is good. Like, I need to get the help, right? I need somebody to bring me back up. And like, hey, actually, that's not bad. Look, you even got all these correct. So you're getting part of it, right? You're not completely dumb. You got, like, 13 out of 30 correct. So you know some of it. You just need to improve on this portion here. This is wrong. You know, I need that backup system that someone's gonna be like, hey, dude, you're on the right track still. You just need, this is where you're messing up. Start fixing here. Remember this, and you'll get there.
Yeah. It's not really what's in the moment. Like, what's in the moment right here could go right, could go wrong. It's what happens in the aggregate, what happens in time. Like, in the future, you'll be in a better position, but the habits that happen over time are what's going to get you there. The successes in the moment are only temporary. Like, they don't make or break you. It's really the habits over time that make or break you.
Yeah, and I mean, my main thing is, like, I compare myself to the other people. I need to really stop comparing myself to the guy that's right next to me or the people behind me. You know, like, it's all on me. Like, this is my own. They're doing their own struggles that I don't know about. I'm having mine right here in this class. And one thing I don't do, like, but I've seen it from other people. They blame the professors. They blame everything but themselves. But at the end of the day, the reason you're struggling on this, you're not understanding it. Don't blame anybody but yourself. You'll figure it out. You just need to put more time into the studying, you know, and figuring out a way that it comprehends in your head so that way you can, you know, pass the test, get the degree that you need. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I a lot about 2 hours per subject per day. Wow.
Way better than me. I'll say my comparison to you would be like 30, 45 minutes per subject.
Yeah. I allot a lot of time because my concept, it's the amount of rigor into the concept, like medical field, it's very rigorous. That's true. It requires so much time. So I think that's enough time for me to understand it and elaborate more on it, because I need to create so many connections in it and get to the point where I can be just by myself with no computers and know all the knowledge that I need without searching it up.
Can I ask where you get that time, or like your day plan of like how are you studying?
So for me right now, as of right now in the semester, wake up at 6, I cut down as much of getting ready time as I can. So I wake up at 6 and I try to get done by 6:25, like everything, making breakfast, showering, brushing teeth, going to the toilet and doing all that things, and then getting out of the house by 6:30.
So 5 minutes for each, mm-hmm. almost.
Then get to my school and start doing my research work. And that research work, I allot completely 2 hours, no distractions, get that done by, let's say, I get to the school by 7, because that's 30 minutes driving, and then by 9, I'm done. Then my first class is at 10. I need 9 to 10 to do my notes, to keep track of what I did in research so that I have that log, so in the future, I can come back to it and say, oh, that's what I did there.
Gotcha.
Now I have class. That's part of the time that I allot for studies. And then that's about 6 hours average per day of the week. So about, let's say about 24 hours per week of classwork. And then at home, I need about 2 hours minus 1 hour per day. So I allot 1 hour per day at home for each subject. And that gets me to where I'm at right now. And I feel that's a very good work schedule. And
it's amazing. Yeah. If I had that work schedule, I wouldn't be struggling.
And I try to limit lunch time as much as possible. But if I'm with another friend, of course,
time doesn't matter. Enjoy yourself a little bit. Like, so.
But if I'm by myself, try to eat as lunch fast as possible and then get back to work. Because if I get as much work as done today, I don't have to worry about it tomorrow. That's my saying, my philosophy.
So you have in a day schedule. My thing is like, okay, so if I want to go see Avery, I need to have all this work done by the end of this week. And that is the goal. Like by Friday, done. Like, so that is my timeline, my deadline, I guess, for everything. It's got to be Friday or nothing. So I am cramming the Spanish homework. All right, that's going to be done Monday, Tuesday. Online class, definitely all done Tuesday. And then my next thing is like, okay, so now we're going on to, so my one class, he has notes on Monday and Wednesday. So I'm like, okay, he finishes the notes on Wednesday. We're taking the test right after on Wednesday. And we're doing the AP style test on Wednesday, getting those done. Then I'm like, okay, so now I just have the video class of like Adobe. That's going to be Thursday, Friday. And then I'm hopefully done by Friday and I'm done.
Do you have any like extra time to work more on like your craft, like more working on editing or like trying to improve it?
So Monday is my longest day. I'm there till 4 o'clock and I'm honestly pretty darn tired. I just try to keep that one to Spanish, even though that's the day I just learned about my project is going to be for the week and everything. I kind of like, that's my day to think, okay, what am I going to do? Then the next day I got to go rent out a camera, start shooting what I want to do, get it all set up. And then throughout the rest of the week, slowly start to work on it. And the main thing is like, so I try to get the online class done real quickly because it's pretty easy and I don't want that hanging over my shoulders. And then Wednesday, I told you, right, I got the quizzes done for the other journalism class. And then like I said, through with the video Adobe class, like right now, like today and this weekend, I'm going to be working on that, finishing that project. I went a little bit too lax, I guess you could say. Again, I was scrolling. I actually didn't even wake up through my 2 alarms today, which I'll go into like later on. But I've been struggling this week with like getting the work done, but it's getting done, like just a little bit over my deadline of like Friday, you know?
Yeah. I actually have a calendar logging all my hours and it's called Outlook. And I do everything. I put my sleep time, class times, study times, eat times, and podcast times, tennis time, and then church time. And then I put a little bit of each into each day so that I can allot to my time everywhere.
You were like, me and you are like almost completely different, because like you are so neatly sorted. Everything is monitored. It is, you like know your whole day. It's calendarized, right? Everything is like in your certain time. And then there's me, and it's just like, oh yeah, I did this, And then went on to the next day. Like, I don't have any sort of organization. And you know that with me, because when we were starting this, I'm sure you got annoyed with me. I don't put anything in folders. It's all just, like, going to throw it in there, and I'll find it somehow in the download section, you know?
Definitely taught me some patience. But what I found out in first semester of, not even first semester, in high school, when I had so hard classes, like I took physics, I took all these biomed sciences classes because I knew I wanted to become a doctor. If I didn't do this type of sort of thing, I would be like hairless today, because it would be so stressful not having a calendar. And it's just if you have a big goal in your mind and you want to achieve it in such a short amount of time and you have so much to do, you have to have a calendar. Maybe, and you have to have something that will keep track of your time. Because if you don't keep track of your time, you'll probably scroll on your phone. You'll probably do something that was unplanned. That's like, it's kind of like impulse buying, but impulse spending your time on something. That's like true. You're still spending your time. And time is really more valuable than money. In the long run, your time is more valuable, because money will come to you like it's a reward. Like, money will come to you if you're valuable. Time will not come to you. Time is just ticking away and you can never get it back. You can't buy time unless you're like hiring someone to do something for you. But time itself inside your life, you need to value that so much. You cannot negotiate with your time. If you negotiate with your time, your life is going to become exceedingly wasted. And I felt that that's why I put that calendar into my daily schedule. And I think it's optimized my schedule for now. I just wish I could optimize it even more so that I follow it and stick to that schedule. Because still right now I have the problem of deviating a little bit. But it still gets me back on schedule, because I can see, oh, that's what I need to do in this moment right now.
I mean, that's better than me. Maybe you're right. Maybe I do need to. Because the most I do is I use the reminders app that you have that you can set. And so I am like, so you're like right on that weekly plan. And I try to, again, I have a deadline weekly plan, but I don't have a weekly plan of, okay, what am I going to get done this today? Like, sometimes I'm kind of spontaneous. I'll just pick one of the subjects and I'll work on it a little bit, you know? So for me, maybe I do need that calendar, and I'll start using the Apple calendar of like, okay, so today is this, and that. Take a break here, eat lunch, make sure that you make your lunch for tomorrow, next day, you know?
And maybe like your study session, it doesn't have to be a specific subject. It may be the one thing that needs to be done now.
Yeah.
And because you have to have flexibility in that study schedule, because you might have a project that overruns and you need to get it done now. That's why you have a whole block of study schedule to get everything done in that moment. And that's what I do. I have biochemistry homework, and that takes so long because it's all the reactions. And I need to spend more time on that. It's just give and take. Like, you can give and take in that schedule. Just know that you're going to be studying during this time, and you need to block that off in your life.
Yeah, I mean, my main class I'm studying for is Spanish, because I got to learn these words, and there's certain words that only have el and la, and I got to memorize, oh yeah, these words are el, these words are la, and different, you know, how these words are spelled. Some of them, like problema, is with an L for some reason, instead of like Allah. You'd think because it has an A at the end of it, it would be La, but it's L, and I just got to memorize these different things. And so that's kind of like my main study thing. And I also, like, I don't know why, but I get lazy in the sense of, like, when I know I have a meeting at 7, then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go do some personal work, like showering, make my lunch, instead of like studying, which is, I guess, it's still doing the proper thing, but I should have been studying. I usually... The more I could get lunch and everything made right before bed, but I kind of throw it in there like, oh, I'll do it while I wait before Lucci calls me.
Yeah, it's like I want to do this, but I'll do it later.
Yeah,
I'll do it later.
What do you think, like, some things we can do to actually, like, besides the calendar, now that I thought it's a good one, like, that I can do to, like, fix everything? Like, I know I have a couple of myself, like, right, I could really put it, you do the do not disturb, the little moon mode or whatever it's called on your phone. I see that all the time. When I see it, when I want to text you, it's like, can't do not disturb, Lucci's busy right now.
Yeah.
And like, I should probably start applying that, like, to mine. Maybe I need to put my phone in a different room, type of thing. Take off my Apple Watch, no more buzzes on my watch, you know. I mean, those are some, like, given things, like, oh, I could learn it. But do you have anything deeper for me?
When I go into my study session, right, I tell myself, what am I going to learn today? What am I going to learn today? What is the purpose of this schedule today? And let's say that I was going to do some podcast research, and I'm like, the purpose of today is to improve the quality of the camera photo shooting so that our photos on our shorts can be better. And then I say, oh, that's my goal. So what do I do to do this? And it'll be goal end oriented. I create mini goals out of that. And then out of that mini goal, I go further. So I would say that in order to improve the shorts, I would, one, try to improve the granularity on our Nikon camera. Try to figure out how to do that. And then I will go into a Nikon website and then find the camera that we have and see if there's anything that we could do to alter the lenses. And then go further into that. So it would be a goal-oriented study. Now, goal-oriented study is prone to going so deep into your subject that you realize, oh, you spend too much time, so you have to have a roadblock and say, oh, that's where I want to stop. Now, the benefit to goal-oriented study is not having distractions, because you will be so focused on this detail that you won't go on to distractions. So whenever I go through my biochemistry reactions, I figure out this is what I want to do, and I'm so interested in the work that I focus on it, and I don't have those distractions, and I finish the whole pathway in that night. And even if I don't get it done, I know that I have like the way to go for it. I know where to pick up next time so that I can be faster in my studies next time. So let's say I didn't do this goal-oriented study and I just studied whatever that I wanted in that period of time. I wouldn't know where to pick up next time because I didn't have a goal. If I had a goal in that study, then I would know where to pick up and achieve that goal. And that's how you optimize your time in studies. You have to know what you're going to do in a certain amount of time and then do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, pick it up next time and it'll be faster.
Yeah. I mean, one of my things is that I've been starting to try to read, right? I want to be a reader. I think reading, you know, it sounds like an old ed, but like it does help you improve and become smarter. And so I picked up this book called Atomic Habits. And I've got Lucci to actually read it with me. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to like chapter 3, but I'm not going to like, I think, if you want my short answer, I think this actually will help you improve those bad habits. And I think that's why I'm reading it, because I want to improve my bad habits. So I guess shout out to like James Clear real quick. This book is actually really good. I think it's worth your 15 hard-earned dollars on Amazon. But I'll go into the one habit that I think I've learned from it. So he talks about improving yourself 1% each day at a time instead of not improving, because you'll actually decline. So if you start to improve yourself 1% each day, so let's say I'm having a hard time waking up every morning, right? Because I am staying up all night. So, right, my first thing is I set a deadline. I got to be in bed by 10:30. So I give myself from 10 to 10:30 to get ready for bed, right? But I'm still not waking up. So what do? I set 2 alarms. Well, after a while, those 2 alarms start to wear off. My body's like, eh, you can just turn them both off at the same time. It's a little more work. So what do? Then after that, to improve myself again, I put one of my phones, well, my phone or my Alexa, put the phone across the room. So I actually have to go over there, turn it off. I've improved myself again 1% more. And then that again doesn't work. So what do? For the final straw, well, I have lights in my room that are connected to the Alexa. So the final straw is at every morning at 6 a.m your lights automatically turn on, so that way you have to, well, that's a lot of stuff to turn off. You might as well wake up by then. And so that's what I kind of see, is like every day you 1% improve every little minute part of your life to improve in this certain area. So if you're trying to wake up earlier, you find every little thing you can do to get yourself up. Maybe you gotta like have all the lights in your room turn off instead of just one big one, you know, or something, you know.
See, that's the thing, it's that little adjustments to your life in sequential days that really improves your quality over time. When Alex said that he did those little things, like his ultimate goal is to wake up as soon as he gets that alarm and then get ready so that it doesn't waste so much time in bed. He improves those little things over time, and those little things get to the point in the future. And I think that's, if you divide anything into chunks, little chunks, and then do that 1% improvement, mm-hmm. it's always going to get into a better situation. And you might not see every single day, but I think it's a very rewarding thing that you have a craft that you work on every single day of your life and that you keep on improving. Because if something were to improve drastically in one day,
yeah,
would you enjoy it as much? I would enjoy it for a time, but did I work for it as hard, or did I work for it in a sense? Being an overnight sensation is good, but it wouldn't be fulfilling.
Yeah. And I saw another one of his graphs. It's like, well, we think progress is like a straight arrow up, but progress is more of like a giant, you start here at the bottom of the graph and you slowly improve. Oops. And you slowly improve. And then there's this little valley underneath which is where you're kind of stuck at for a long time with that improvement, where you're like, dude, I'm not improving hardly at all. But you actually are. It's taking a little bit longer than you imagined. And that's how we always know how that improvement is. Like, improvement always takes a long drive, and then eventually we're way up here and we're like, dude, I've actually improved so much. You know, it just, when we're in that valley of like, I don't know, not seeing the improvement as much, like very little, and then when it finally shoots up and we're like way better than what we were, that's where it just takes that time and patience of like watching it grow, right? It's like a plant. Mm-hmm.
Making yourself improve over, like, I think it's exponential growth. That's what it's called. And when you have that exponential growth, it starts out slower than what a linear growth curve would look like. Yeah,
we all expect just a straight line of just straight improvement, but it's like this. And sometimes, I mean, we may improve and then we might strike down and then we're going to start again. And then, you know, like we all fail, and sometimes we fall back farther than what we started at, and then we have to rise again and start over.
Yeah. In the moment, though, I do, like, when I, let's say when I play a tennis match and I lose it, I feel like the worst thing happened in my world, because that's the one thing that I value, like it's the thing that reflects my character, winning and losing. And in that moment, when I dwell on it, it feels like the world just ended. It feels like something had just broken inside of me. And now I'm trying to work on not dwelling on it too much. After a match, even if I win or lose, the thing that I will do is not think about the match in the upcoming hours. I just put it behind me and go about my day. And then whenever I am sound and I've ate my dinner after that match, then I go and analyze my play. What did I do well? What did I need to improve on? Because those emotions in that moment will be raw. They will be like so raw that it will tend to detriment you in the long run, because you'll be so like fluctuating. You'll be so happy when you win and you'll be so sad when you lose. That those emotions do not matter. What matters is an improvement in the long run and figuring out what you had done right or wrong in that situation. And that really can't happen within that, like, 3 hours after a match, or even four. It might even take a day's after night rest to get into the mindset of actually analyzing a match. And I found that when I did this strategy this past week or 2 weeks, I felt better in analyzing my play and not feeling that dread of, oh, I lost, or the happiness, oh, I won. Because analyzing is not about the emotion, it's about the product of your service. If that's playing tennis, if that's making a music video, if that's making better education, it's the analyzation, not the emotion that's attached to it. Emotion, of course, is good in some instances, but you want to keep it to a minimum.
Kind of reminds me of the Luka Doncic trade. Like, I just try not to think about it. Gosh, that was the worst trade in history, and I've been... Honestly, it dawns on me every like other day. I'm like, we really gave Luka Doncic up for a bag of chips.
that's a good example of it. Like, in the moment, we feel so horrible, but then after that, we begin to analyze it for its detriments, which many people feel. I feel it too, but some people see it as an advantage. So we might have better centers. We might have better big men on the team that might get us to a better
situation. Better defense.
Better defense. But really analyzing is the main point of this, trying to figure out what can I improve on, those little improvements of the day. And that's really a center of this podcast. What can I improve on? What can I work on to achieve in the future? And how can I do that in the present moment? How can I do that in the next week? How can I do that in the next month? And structuring your time into a plan that works for you, so that your goal will come to you faster and into a better way that you can make for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to take away any of my big three takeaways from, like, what you've told me, like, with calendar, my big three takeaways that I've just started for myself is, gotta get out of the bed.
Gotta get out of the bed. Gotta get started.
Gotta put my phone in a different room, put it on that D&D so that way I don't look at it. And then the third thing would be to start that calendar. If I'm going to implement any three things to get a good start on actually, like, good studying habits, that's what I'm going to start with. The bed analogy was actually kind of true. I don't do the light part yet, but I do set my phone on the opposite side of the room so that way I actually have to get up and turn it off so that way, because it's really annoying. It's like the most annoying like alarm you could ever think of. But I'm improving, right? So like, and again, I'm trying to cut back on that, you know, social media too, because it is extremely addictive. So if I put the phone in a different room, then I don't mess with it, you know? Mm-hmm.
And when you find that you do all these habits, right, you're changing your habits. You're not just changing the time, you're changing the habits. Over time, you'll get that time back and you'll get to spend it on other things
that you want to have. A fourth thing is to stop dwelling on those like failures as hard. Like when I do bad on like those AP style tests or a quiz that didn't go my way so well, I kind of like overdwell on, like, dude, like it kind of like bums my whole day. I don't know why. But I go into this like spiral of like depression for like a couple hours, and I'm like, I don't want to do anything. So I need to stop dwelling. I need to like calm myself down, you know, like just breathe. It's a test. You can't fix it anymore. Improve on the next one, because you don't want to be in this depressed, sad state for the next like 2 or 3 hours. Like, fix it, you know.
Stop. After that result, when you're in the depressed state, just take a break, do something else, and then come back to that subject. And then analyze what you can do better. Not your result, but what you can do better.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to try to implement these things better, start to have a better, because I need to be better started for college, and just improve. I mean, that's overall, like, in optimizing my own time and our viewers' time with, like, how to get better with this.
Yeah, that's really it. Optimizing. That's a great word, because when I'm going to medical school, even now, my habits are pretty poor. I mean, these habits that I have right now will get me through college and getting all these things, but medical school is steroids. It's one of the biggest things that you won't get that much sleep. 5 hours is the average, and if you manage your time, well, probably six. Just having the right habits right now, I need to develop them, will get me through medical school, and I need to develop them now. Urgency is the key. When you have a goal in mind, and you know the timeline that you want to get it into, work harder to get it done in half that time. If you try to get it done in half the time, then you will get that goal done in an earlier period of time. So let's say I wanted to get this podcast 1 million subscribers, and I say what time period? Yeah. I say 5 years. Let's get it done in 2.5.
Okay.
And we might get it done in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And having that timeline and having that urgency, sense of urgency, will get us to where we want to in a faster amount of time. And it saves you time, and it just gives you that one bit of motivation to wake up every day.
Yeah, subscribe. We need you right now. Like, do what he said. We need. That's our goal: 1 million subscribers
in 2.5 years.
So,
yeah, we'll be doing this a lot, and I think this is a good wrap-up point for this episode. education, why does it matter, Alex?
It matters because we need to optimize our time. We need to actually learn the subjects we're learning. We're using AI more than ever to just get our way through it. I understand we all can be like lazy. I mean, we all use it at times because it helps us get through things faster. But we need to actually like learn these subjects and to optimize. You know, we don't want Lucci using AI to be your doctor. You know, you don't want that. He actually has to sit there, learn it, learn his study habits. So it's important for him to actually learn what he's being taught at UTD. So that way he can become the best doctor possible. And cheating the way through it with AI is not going to help him become the best doctor. Or me becoming the best broadcaster cheating my way through it using AI. So it's important for us to learn how to improve our study habits, our sleeping habits. Just learning how to improve our lives overall, whether it's just 1% each day. Or if it's 10% each day, probably more likely 1%. But learning how to improve our educating and our studying habits so that way we can be the best students we can be.
When you have that gradual building over time, you can work on that base. And when you get that base on it, you can use that built on an additive and then improve yourself even more. And I believe that's the thing that we both have to do in our future careers. We have to always say, what can we improve on each day? And even if it's with our diet, like we had a episode about 2 episodes ago, what can we improve on our diet so that we can become healthier and stay healthy so that we can be more productive in our careers? Or even how can we improve our exercise so that we can be like the most fit looking guys in our careers? Like, you need to be a fit guy in broadcasting so that you can be like physically attractive, get more views that way. Yeah. And then I need to be physically attractive so that I can be like more credible. You don't want a fat doctor. Yeah. It's like hypocritical.
It is hypocritical. We also like, you don't, you know, we did a financial episode where you want to be financially stable, financially educating ourselves, not being lazy, not having impulse buys, you know, all these different things. We kind of like with this podcast and show, we are implementing, you know, ending our laziness so we can improve and be better.
Yeah. It really is all the aspects in our life. We have to figure out what we can improve on. If that's using our computers, we have all this new technology coming out, AI. How are we going to use that? How can we improve on using that so that we can optimize it for ourselves? Let's take even organizing a room. This room was not organized before. It was a messy layout, and we figured out how to organize it. We set up this podcast table in a new way. We tried to improve it so that we could be more personable to each other and make it to where we can talk to a camera and talk to each other at once. We got these plants up and getting them into a nice setup, but we're improving it. We're trying to figure out ways we can improve in every way in our lives. And I'll leave it at that. Try to figure out one thing you can do each day to improve.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're doing. I mean, we may even eventually start making episodes on books, and we will start reviewing them and seeing if these books will actually help you improve and motivate you and become better. And we'll probably maybe start with this one or a different one. But just so you know, this one, it's a great one. Start with this if you can. And like I said, we're going to maybe have a different, you know, new set of changes. Again, we're always changing on this podcast, always trying to improve. So you might see some a little bit more book reviews on here.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to try to read at least 10 pages per day. And that might seem small, but it's the work ethic over time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm excited what we do in the future, Alex, and I think this podcast has a bright future. And make sure to check out our pages. YouTube, please subscribe if you like this video, and let us know in the comments what you think, any questions, and any concerns. Please like, and
do you have anything else? I mean, our TikTok's doing great still. The YouTube side and Instagram are actually really starting to pop, so we're super thankful for everybody that's been checking out those. And again, just like, subscribe, follow us. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate everything that everyone's been doing for this channel. And we're excited to see its growth, because as we've been improving, it's been growing. So we're definitely on the right track now.
Yeah. We love doing this for you. Like, if we could have one of y'all here, it would be so fun to just discuss. We try to make this a very conversational podcast because we want to make it a bro talk. Bro talk. Yeah.
But, and we're definitely getting there. Eventually, we may have someone on the show. Maybe right here with you. You might be right here.
Yeah.
Eventually.
We look forward to actually implementing that soon.
Yes. So maybe that'll be you. If you want to be interested in us at all, shoot us a DM or an email, and we'll see what we can do. We'll try to figure that out.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you for listening to us with the Sights On Podcast.
This is the Sights On Podcast with Alex and Lucci. This is Sights On
signing off.